From pillar to post and coast to coast.
This is a one-man gang. You're listening to a book.
Hey, do you watch wrestling?
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to fight!
Oh, put up your hands and fight. Oh, you know there's something ain't right. You've been waiting half your life.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Matthew Terry, and this is the It's Time to Fight podcast. Thank you so much for clicking on that play button. I appreciate every single click that play button gets. Before I get too deep into this episode and you guys start fast-forwarding to get to Zach Storm, I want to once again point out that as my voice is being recorded, there are only four tickets remaining for MCW's Rags to Riches 8, which is September 4th in Brantford, Ontario, Canada. I'll be there getting back into ring announcing, which I'm a little scared about, but we all need to get back into our pre-pandemic grooves, so it needs to happen eventually. Four tickets remain for the show, so if you're in the Brantford area or simply want to take a bitchin' road trip, I will put the link into the episode description. Do you follow us on Twitter? You should. It's at Time to Fight Pod. If for no other reason, it's because every single day we're doing our very damn best to put up an interesting poll or two. Some of the ones that we've done recently, we asked, is Ring of Honor considered an indie? 69% people said yes. We asked if Impact Wrestling was considered an indie. 83% said no. We asked, did WWE bait and switch using Becky Lynch at SummerSlam, not announcing that Sasha Banks wouldn't be attending and bringing Becky out? 60% of people said yes, it was a bait and switch. So that one was kind of close, you know, in the 50-50. I don't really think it was a bait and switch. Like, unless you're a big Sasha fan and you're kind of wondering, well, what the heck's going up with Sasha? Why hasn't she been at the house shows? You know, why hasn't she been on TV? But, you know, you're taking out Sasha Banks. You're putting in this huge return by Becky Lynch. How the match went, that's a whole other story. But I don't think really people, you know, I don't think the WWE baited and switched placing Becky into Sasha's position. We also asked Adam Cole, where is he going to end up? As of right now, as I record my voice, nothing has been announced. But 72% people said that he was going to go to AEW, which left 28% of people, obviously, saying that he was going to stay on the WWE main roster. I can see him going to AEW. You know, Britt Baker, his lovely girlfriend, is over on AEW. I've never really understood that, because there's been many instances where, you know, boyfriends, girlfriends, husbands, and wives, you know, one of them's been out of WWE, the other one's been in WWE, one's in AEW, one's in WWE, one's on Impact, one's on AEW. And I guess, you know, you work where you work. My father was a truck driver, my mother worked for the Department of Justice. But still, like, you're in the same business, you're in the same, you know, occupation. I always just find it weird when couples, you know, they end up in two different companies. I know sometimes the company's not going to be interested and you still want to apply your trade. I just always find it weird. Like, Adam Cole, he can probably call his shot wherever he wants to go. Hence why I think, you know, he would enjoy working for AEW. Although, they do say, working together within a couple, not good. So, we will see. I'd love to see him stay in WWE, go to the main roster. But again, my guess is that he's going to go to AEW. That's what I voted on the poll. We asked, what was the purpose behind Brock Lesnar showing up at SummerSlam? We asked, was it the plan all along? Was it WWE hitting the panic button? Or was it WWE and, you know, more specifically Vince McMahon saying, this is Brock Lesnar, AEW, and you can never have him. You can have CM Punk, you can have Christian, you can have all those guys, but this is the one you can never have. 64% of the responders said that it was Vince McMahon hitting the panic button. I don't agree with that. I don't agree because I honestly believe that Vince McMahon, that he, I've said it so many times, that the WWE universe is this bubble, and Vince McMahon is so focused on this bubble that he might know about AEW, but I don't think he really panics about it. Like, I think it was Jim Cornette said, you know, in Vince McMahon's years, the years that he has left, he is never going to see the day when AEW is as profitable of a company as WWE. AEW will never see those days, or Vince McMahon will never see those days as long as he's alive. And I think Vince McMahon knows that. And I don't think he's really panicking about AEW. He has his universe, literally. AEW has their universe. So I don't really think Vince McMahon was really panicking. We also asked, and the responders were correct, that the Lucha Brothers defeated Jurassic Express. They won the Tag Team Eliminator to move on and face the Young Bucks for the AEW Tag Team Championship. All right, so if you want to check out our polls, again, by all means, just go out and do it. Just go out and follow us at Time to Fight Pod. We put up polls, as I said, we try to put up one, maybe two every single day. They're fun. They're interesting. You know, it gets your opinion out there. If you want to comment on these, we'd love to hear that too. All right, Zach Storm is on the show today. He's on the show this whole week, actually. Him and I got together onto Zoom after not really speaking for at least 10 years. I say not really because originally, when I reached out to Zach, we spoke on the phone for about an hour, just catching up with one another. And we still spoke for over 3 hours during this Zoom session. I want to tell all of you, I want to try and put into words what I saw and what I expected out of Zach Storm when him and I were both going through Battleground Academy. However, it's really hard to put into words. My hope is that it comes through during our conversations this week. In fact, I feel a sense of relief that I, perhaps, have all week to let you guys know. But as for today, Zach and I talk finding wrestling, older brothers, training with clowns, working the testicles, wanting to train with Petey Williams, and ultimately becoming the squat king. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to fight with the prodigy, Zach Storm. I hear noises.
Matt, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Wonderful. I'm using headphones. I didn't know if they would work.
Okay.
Where's my camera?
I don't know where your camera is.
This is my first Zooming. I don't know what I'm doing.
You're Zooming.
Start video. Allow access to camera. There we go.
There!
Hey, look, it's me.
Look at
there.
You.
Put you up on the box that I put there.
Put me up on the box.
Well, I this is the quiet room of the house right now. Baby's downstairs being a baby. And there's no like table or anything. So I just kind of like brought Christine's jewelry box over and like phone's gingerly resting on top.
I see. So at some point, this is going to fall off and just, you know.
I hope not, but it's on a carpet. So if it does, fuck it.
Yeah, okay.
So what's the best way to start a podcast?
Well, we've already started.
Put down a cigarette. I hear that's a popular way to start it.
Is it? I don't think I've ever heard that one.
No, that was how Claude started it. And then I think Chris
started one
like that. Oh,
yes. Okay. That's right. Yeah.
It's like, so what do you do on podcasts? Who do you want me to bury? I mean, Like, fuck this guy, fuck that guy. He can't work his way out of a paper bag.
You don't have to. You don't have to bury anybody, but
I'm not. I have no intention of burying anybody.
But hey, you mentioned Claude. Let's just go the fuck with Claude. No, I'm kidding.
I've honestly met him once. I don't know anything about Claude. When I first met him, I thought he was a Cornwall guy.
See, when you said, like, you know, oh, that's how Claude started his, I was just like, oh yeah, that's right. I hate even talking about him now because so many people want to shit talk him that I'm sitting just like, really? Like, I had him on.
Yeah.
Just, I can't remember why I had him on. Oh,
I think he was having
a show here in this area, and I'm like, hey, you know what? I'll throw him a bone and, you know, maybe I'll promote his show or whatever. Then the show didn't end up happening or something like that. But he comes on, he goes, oh, yeah, I still live in the Ottawa area. And I'm like, but you're promoting a show here in Southern Ontario?
Yeah, none of that. I probably listened to that more recently than you did. Just because when you contacted me, I was like, yeah, sure, I'll do the podcast. Lovely. I would love to hang out with Matt and Ryan, who's AWOL, scowl face at Ryan, who's AWOL. But then I just binge watched, you can't watch podcasts. I binge listened to all the podcasts. So you've been in my ear for the past week and a half to 2 weeks, all day. So
did you start from the beginning and go everybody, or did you?
I started with people I knew.
Okay.
So the first one I listened to was It's Time to Fight with Jen. Cause I know Jen.
Yeah. With Portia. Yeah.
And then I listened to the first UWA one.
Okay.
On It's Time to Fight. And then I heard like Shithead. And I was like, who the hell is Shithead? Took me thinking a while. And I heard Claude's name there. And I was like, oh, well, I'll go back and listen to that one. And then I listened to the UWA ones. And then I listened to Mark from C4, Mike Roch. Yeah, everybody. Not all of them.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot.
So you don't really remember Claude at all?
So after you contacted me, I was like, okay, so time to take a trip down memory lane. That thing is like overgrown with weeds and trees fell on it. I don't remember shit.
Okay.
Like I realized my memory is the
absolute worst. No pun intended.
No.
Because that was one of the big things was that he trained with cow shit on his pants.
Apparently.
Yeah.
I wish I was there to like smarten him up on that point. I was trying so hard to remember things back, and I can only remember glimpses and flashes and like vague timelines.
Yeah.
I attribute that to getting dropped in my head so often, but I mean, I have no idea why I can't remember half the stuff that I probably should.
Well, at one point when you and I were going back and forth, you said like, you know, I had almost pushed everything about wrestling out of my head. And then you're like, you know, fuck you, because now wrestling is seeping back into my head.
Yeah, I was out, man. I was like happily retired. I got a family. I'm focusing on myself. My own mental being is like in tip top shape. And then you're like, hey, remember that thing that you used to focus on like nonstop and obsess about? Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. Wrestling is a thing and shit. Yes. There it is. Thank you.
So are you like, you don't watch it? You don't anything anymore?
So I didn't for a while. I didn't focus on anything at all. I unfollowed everything, all the local companies and all these things. And then I started seeing people getting signed in WWE, like local guys, Kevin Steen, Sami Zayn, all those. Like, oh, cool. So maybe I'll like, you know, keep an ear to this stuff just to like kind of feel it out. And then more local guys were getting signed. And when Uno and Stu got signed to AEW, I started following them again on Twitter and Instagram. But that's pretty well it. And then when you contacted me, I started trying to think of stuff and trying to watch old matches to jog my memory. And I watched an old match of me wrestling Jay Rukin. Before I watched that, I didn't even know I wrestled Jay Rukin.
and it was actually
a fantastic match.
Oh, that's something I've actually been running into more and more, like with Ryan, my co-host.
Yeah.
He he says, like, you know, as local as he pretty much stayed, or as expansive as he didn't get, he still wrestled. He said figures around 150 matches, and he's like, it just, it all blends together, and it all, he can't remember everybody that he's wrestled. And that kind of surprised me. That kind of surprised me.
You'd think you'd remember the matches that you enjoyed.
Well, you would think that, like, you'd remember the matches you enjoy, but...
Yeah, I remember, like, maybe a spot from, like, a handful of matches each. I remember, like, really minute details of those inconsequential things, but as far as, like timelines, I can't remember anything. Yeah, I just haven't thought about it in so long that it just faded, I guess.
All right, well, then... This should be fun then, because we're going to go backwards and we're going to.
Yeah.
And if you get really confused, I see you have a guitar back there. So feel free just to, like, break into.
This is the room that has probably the best acoustics of the house. This is where the guitars are hidden. I can play like the first 30 seconds of a One Pearl Jam song and Happy Birthday. That's my entire repertoire.
Hey, that there's nothing wrong with that repertoire. There really isn't. Yeah. All right, so Zach, let's go all the way back to the beginning.
Way back. Yeah.
How much of a wrestling fan, and when do you find wrestling?
So the only reason I remember this story is because I've told it a multitude of times.
Okay.
I found wrestling when I was 4 years old, and it's my brother's fault.
Okay.
So when I was just a wee young lad, we would go to the video store every week, and we would rent a video, one video per weekend. We'd rent it for the weekend, and then it would go back. That was our big family outing.
And that was the rules.
That was, yeah. So
the rules were they had to go back.
You can't keep them. You're not allowed to keep them. It becomes way too expensive if you try and keep them. But we'd go back and forth. My brother would rent 1 week. I would rent the next week. I thought it was my week, and I had the Care Bears video in my hand, and I was all excited, like waving it around the store, like, I'm renting Care Bears. And my brother was renting WrestleMania 5 or WrestleMania 1. I can't recall which one it was, Andre the Giant and Hulk Hogan. That was 1 or 5?
That was 3.
3. There it is. Kevin was renting WrestleMania 3, and I wanted Care Bears, and it was Kevin's week. So we watched WrestleMania 3. And I was so blown away at this, like, brown and yellow man picking up a giant. And I was like, oh, that's neat. I want to pick up a giant.
Well, yeah, what 4-year-old wouldn't?
Yeah. And then the next week, it was my turn to rent a video. And I walked right by the Care Bears section over to where Kevin picked up my wrestling thing. And I was like, oh, that one.
Okay.
That one. So, yeah. And it just kind of snowballed from there. We were watching it. Every week, my brother and I would alternate wrestling videos we rented.
Okay, so the two of you had the opportunity to, like, bond over this.
Yeah, kind of bond, I suppose.
Yeah, okay.
He was my punching bag as a 4-year-old attacking his 4-year-old brother, his 8-year-old brother.
So my brother is 9 years older than me. Mm-hmm. And my brother, not a wrestling fan. I got into it because a friend of mine's brothers were into it. One day I was over there, they were watching it. At least this is the best I can recollect. And I just kind of fell in love with it. And I was like eight or 9 years old. I'm gonna say 8. But my brother, once I started getting into wrestling, and of course being a hyperactive 8-year old, I would try to wrestle with him. But he's 9 years older than me.
And he's got a couple pounds on you.
Oh, he's got a few. But that, the funny part about that is he would always put me in a headlock. Like, after a while, he just always like, yeah, look what I can do. Look what I can do. Like, you know, this 17-year-old putting his 8-year-old brother into a headlock. And then as time went on, he would always put me in a headlock. I remember when I was like 16 and my brother had moved out by this point, and he came to visit my mom, and I was still living there. And I guess for old time's sake, he put that headlock on me. But now I'm 16 and I've always been a relatively big boy. So I stood up. He had the headlock on me, and I just grabbed him around the waist and just stood up.
Pick him up. Yeah.
And he never put a headlock on me again. I think that was the like, oh
yeah,
shit.
People don't realize like when you put somebody in a headlock. Yeah, people don't realize when you put somebody in a headlock, you're putting them at your center of gravity. So it's really easy to get picked up at that point.
Yeah. Once he realized that, you know, oh, Matt's bigger now and he can defend himself and
Yeah, all he needs to do is hold on tight and stand up and he's got you.
Exactly. 4 years old. I'm assuming you don't get into training at five.
No. Many years down the road, I was watching wrestling. I was like, oh, this is a cool thing. And then in high school, I met a guy named Alan who wrestled as Taylor for the longest time. And consequently, I was late for class. And how I met him, I was late for class and there was only one seat left in class and it was beside him. So I sat beside Alan for an English class, I think it was. And those were the assigned seats. So the next day I went in wearing a Shawn Michaels shirt. He's like, oh, I see the flag. You're a wrestling fan. I was like, yes, I'm a wrestling fan. I've been watching it for so long. And he was a wrestling fan. So we bonded. And all through high school, we were, talking wrestling, watching wrestling. He, his family was kind of well off. So he got all the pay-per-views. So I'd go over to his house every month to watch the pay-per-views, or he'd come to my place and we'd go to the bar because I didn't have enough money to get the pay-per-views. So we just had chicken wings at the bar. And we did a little bit of wrestling at his house, you know, like, on a mattress in the backyard and as kids do, and we videotaped it and it was a good laugh. Then, when I was 17, we heard about this indie show in Cornwall. Do not recall who it was. So we went to the show in Cornwall. Sexy Eddie was actually on that show. He pulled Alan's girlfriend over the guardrail, put her in the ring and did his grinding thing on her. And we were like, oh my God, she's in the ring. The group of us were saying, like, just amazed that she got to go in the ring. And Alan was like, he's on my girlfriend. So that was there was like five of us that were like, oh my God, what did the ring feel like? How was it? What were the ropes made of? And like just going nuts, like asking her so many questions. And Alan was like, did he touch you?
did you like it? Did he like it?
Yeah. And she was like, oh, the ring is soft. And that was her only explanation. Like the ropes are soft and the ring is soft. And we were like, oh, it's a soft ring. Our minds were blown. So after the show, everyone was being ushered out and we kind of like hung back trying to avoid the security people because we wanted to see the ring get taken apart. So the ring started getting taken apart and they take the canvas off and the padding. And I was like, oh, it is soft. Look, it's padding. And then there's plywood under it. And I was like, oh, that doesn't look soft. It's plywood. A guy came up to us who was Eric Carpentier, who wrestled as Just Insane. And he was like, he saw us like flipping out about the construction of the ring. And he's like, hey, you guys seem pretty interested. And turns out he had a wrestling school. And we were 16 or 17, I can't recall. But he invited us up to the wrestling school. And we went there for a year. Every weekend, Friday, we'd stayed the night at the school and we'd come home Sunday for about a year. And that's how I got into wrestling.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, Eric Carpentier was one of the Jokers or something?
Yeah, the Joker's Wild. Him and his
brother
Martin.
Wild, okay.
Yeah, the Joker's Wild, the clowns.
The clowns, yes.
Yeah, because they wore clown makeup and... They were really good guys. I remember, I know later in my quote unquote career, Martin thought I had heat with them. And I don't know if Eric ever publicly came at me or whatever, but I've nothing but respect for those guys. I have nothing but love for those guys. They've always treated me well. Except for that one time they worked me at, for Max Alexander. And they thought it'd be really funny to work my testicles the entire match. That was less fun than it should have been, but it was funny afterwards.
Yeah.
It was funny. I have nothing but respect for those guys.
I'm trying to figure out how you work someone's testicles during the match, but hey,
They were I'm sure it was like a comedy. They were trying to like make it really funny, and like every 5 seconds they would distract the referee, and then I would get low blowed.
Got it.
So I was basically holding my testicles the entire show, and it was afterwards it was really funny, but during the match I was like, why are they doing this to me? What did I do to upset them?
What is the debut?
My very first match.
Your very first match.
So the clowns weren't very popular in the region.
No, they were not. I remember that too. I don't think I've ever met them, but I remember that they weren't exactly well regarded.
No, they had a lot of heat with the guys who worked for CPW and of various other places. I never asked why. It was their business. I didn't go into it at all. But my very first match, so we trained for a year. Like I said, we'd go to the school, we'd sleep at the school, train. We had there for a year. Then Eric was like, I'm running a show, and here's your debut match. You're going to be Phoenix, and this is your gear. This is your face paint, and you're going to be in a 7-second squash match. And I was like, oh, okay. He's like, and you're doing the squashing. And I was like, no. Why am I doing the squashing? Another one of our trainees, he's like, this is your match. This is your name. This is your gear. And you are being squashed by Phil. He was like, why am I being squashed? Like, don't worry about it. We'll put you in another match later. So my teammate, the guy at Brexel, got 2 matches on the main show. And I got 1 7-second squash. My first match ever was under the name Phoenix, because Eric had heat with a guy named Phoenix who wrestled years ago. No, he had heat with the guy I was wrestling who he just sprinted up as. Anyway, he had heat with somebody. He was very angry and bitter. So he was like, go out there, hit him with a big boot, and then a top rope leg drop, and that's it. Pin him, and then you're done. And I was like, you know, I've been working for a year. I kind of like to wrestle more than, you know, one move. He's like, no, you're winning. You're winning. That's all that matters. Like, but I kind of like to wrestle more than one move. So yeah, I went out there. I hit a big boot and I did a top rope leg drop. And that was my match. That was my very first match, and I won. And then I didn't have another match for a year because he never ran another match, and he never taught us how to get booked places.
All right. Well, was he the type that, you know, he wanted to keep his guys close, or try to keep his?
No, he was. I'm not entirely sure that they had the best network to get bookings places, because, like I said, we went there every weekend.
Okay.
And he was available every weekend. And after I started wrestling, I was like, but shows happen on the weekends. How is he able to train us on the weekends if he's not in, aren't supposed to be in shows? So I don't think they had a lot of work.
Now, you have, like, as long as I've known you and watched you, a lot of high flying, a lot of flips, a lot of, you know, a lot of aerial stuff.
Yep.
Were you into gymnastics and stuff like that coming into it? Or is this something you kind of developed when you got into wrestling?
Oh, not at all.
Oh, okay.
I am and was the most uncoordinated fool around anywhere. It took me so much practice to do a backflip, and I was so proud that I could when I finally was able to do a backflip, I just kept doing them. And everything that I could do was because of wrestling. Like, I'd then go swimming, and I'd be practicing shooting star presses that I could never do. And I'd practice 450s off diving boards and stuff like that. And I'd be like, oh, I can get like better rotation if I tuck more. And like, it was just gymnastics. It's all after the fact. I never had any practice or anything like that beforehand.
Okay. Well, were you an athletic teenager at all? Or
no, I played soccer when I was 12. And then I was like, I'm going to play video games because video games are fun. And I don't want to be outside. The sun burns me. Like, I wasn't very athletic as a kid. I'm still not terribly athletic. And if you look at like my early matches, I'm a beanpole.
Yeah.
I was a beanpole through most of my career. I never really hit the gym like I should have.
All right. So do we jump right to Battleground Academy, or how do you find Battleground Academy?
It was, he had, so Dave put on a show, and Alan and a training group that we were in was like, hey, there's another indie company in the area. Let's go check it out. I think Raven was on the show.
Okay.
It might've been Raven and Sabu. I don't recall exact timelines.
Well, no, we had Raven. Raven was in a 6-man tag with Team Canada against Sin and a couple other guys. And then Raven came back and he was in Clockwork Orange House of Fun with Abyss, Axel Williams, and A1.
I do remember Petey Williams was on the show, and that's what sold me. And okay. I had assumed, because this is like after a year of training and I had my debut match, and I was like such a professional that if you're on the show, you're training at the gym. And I thought Petey Williams trained in Ottawa. And I was like, oh shit, I want to train with Petey Williams because I just saw him on TV. And in my brain, I was like, he's on the show. He trains at the gym. So I have to go to the show and I have to talk to the promoter and I have to train at the gym. So that's how, because, you know, who doesn't want to train with Petey Williams?
Well, no, who doesn't want to train with Petey Williams?
Right.
But is there a funny story that, you know, like, so where's Petey?
No, I didn't. I was always like, one thing the clowns did teach us is put the professional in professional wrestling.
Okay.
Don't go to a show wearing a wrestling t-shirt and be like, oh my God, you're my favorite. No, you gotta be like, you know, it is professional wrestling. It is, you're there to work. Basically, don't mark out and make a fool of yourself.
Okay.
Because then that looks badly on them. If we go to shows and we're like, I'm trained by the clowns and wrestling is super. Yeah. So we went and we were super professional about it. And we were asking around and we met Dave, and Dave said, yeah, training's Tuesday and Friday. He wasn't that enthused that we were like, yeah, we're trained and we want to, you know, join your classes. And because we were like, we don't know how to get booked, but we want to be on the show. And if you're a student, you must get on the show. So let's become students. Yeah. So he said training's Tuesdays and Fridays or whatever days it was. Might have been Wednesdays and Fridays.
Tuesdays and Thursdays for a while. I know that.
Yeah. It was at Lee's. I know it was 2 days a week.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, it's 300 down and however much it is per month. And we were like, yeah, okay, we'll be there. Absolutely. So we showed up. Alan gave him the $300. I gave him $150 and was like, can I spot you the rest? And he said, no. And I was like, all right, I'll go to the ATM and you know, get you the rest. And then I came back and I was like, hey, the ATM's broken. Can I spot you the rest? And he's like, fuck it. Sure.
Yeah, that kind of sounds like Dave.
So I remember our first day there. He had I don't remember if it was just Alan and I or if it was Brent and the other two guys that trained with us with the clowns or not, but he put his class on hold to kind of see what we had and where we were, what we knew coming in.
Okay.
And most of it was conditioning, and he was had us do like squats and push-ups and rolls, squats and push-ups and rolls, and he would keep going. And he was going to keep going until one of us threw up. And I was the one who was dry heaving. I was like, oh, I can't do this anymore. Like I was completely out of shape. I should not have, I was never in wrestling shape really. So I was like, hey, I'll be back. I will continue this, but I need to go throw up and I will be back. So I went and I tried to throw up, but I couldn't. And then I came back and he's like, you threw up? And I was like, yep. yeah, I threw up. I'm good to go. And he's like, all right, we're done rolls. We're done push-ups. We're done squats. Now let's lock up. It's like, oh God, I don't want to do anything. So he like put us through our paces and, got comfortable with like where we were knowledge wise. And he's like, all right, you know, we'll start the class now. And then he brought everybody in to my recollection. Again, yeah. I got dropped on my head for so many times. I can't remember. clear details, but I do remember he had us rolling.
I don't know if you can see that.
Let me get real close to the screen. That is Sean McMillan doing a springboard, me wearing a white t-shirt and white shorts. Yeah, I can see that. Hey, there's Alan and Ryan in the background.
No, that,
Luscious.
Oh, yeah, that is. That is Ryan. I didn't realize that was Ryan.
Rush. Yep. Ryan Allen has always been two for me. We call him two because he was the second Ryan.
It's funny that you say like you were puking after the squats because one of my
I tried to puke. I couldn't.
Oh, tried. Sorry that you attempted to puke from squats because one of the etched memories in my head is you doing squats. It was at the what would ultimately become the last gym. And you doing squats and doing kind of like a Russian kick dance.
Oh, yeah.
I
was doing so many squats. So I took that first day to heart and I was like, well, I'm doing squats all the time now. Like, this is what Dave wants. This is what Dave gets. I will be the squat king. So I would do squats at training. When I came home, I'd watch Monday Night Raw, and during every single commercial break, I'd be watching it with my mother, and I'm like, hey, Mom, count me. And she's like, what do you mean? I was like, I'm going to do squats. Count me. So I'd do squats during the commercial break, the entire commercial break. And the show came back on, I'd be a pile of sweat. I'd sit down, and I'd drink my water, and I'd say, how many did I do? Years later, he was like, 50 squats. Like, fuck, 50 squats. I got you 50 squats right here. Uh-huh. So I'd do squats, and I'd dance. And I'd like, the new guys would come in and they'd be like having a hard time. So I would be like dancing sideways and I'd be doing the like one-legged squat and I'd be like dancing and they'd be like, come on, let's get these squats going.
Want to support this podcast? Follow it on the Twitter gimmick at Time to Fight Pod. Follow the host at Announcer Terry. I'm a ring announcer. I'm a damn good one. Visit our website, www.itstimetofight.ca. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, email us at timetofightpod@gmail.com. October 22nd to 24th, It's Time to Fight presents Wrestling with ALS 2021. A weekend full of wrestling podcasts from worldwide, a live wrestling show presented by Moonshine Branded Wrestling, stand-up comedy from members of the wrestling community, and much more. The whole thing will be live-streamed. The wrestling and comedy will be open to the public, and every dollar raised will benefit the ALS Society of Canada. Check out our website, www.itstimetofight.ca, for information. Or email us at timetofightpod@gmail.com.